Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
By the way, I love those little meetings that we have before the show.
Refreshing.
It gets my juices flowing a little bit.
It reminds you that we care.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to have like show kind of content stuff before the show. That's just for my guys here. Hi, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hi, how's everybody? Let me introduce our guest who will be sitting in with us today. There is an additional show that I do now every week. I did it way, way, way back when, and I think I did two or maybe three.
Three in a year,
political persuasions.
A tri-yearly effort.
I did three of them, and then it went away because I really just didn't enjoy it. I didn't think it was worthy of putting more out there because it just didn't seem to be something I wanted to do. And then down the road, Oscar met this gentleman and mentioned that it might be an interesting thing to do a show with a partner, and I love to work collaboratively. I really, really do. And so that's when I met this very, very talented man, a TV boy, Chris Freites, who is my co-host on Political Persuasion. He is formerly of CNN and was featured in Playgirl magazine in, was it 1970?
Right next to Scott Brown, actually.
Yeah,
Scott Brown. A double spread.
I remember Scott that. Brown. Yeah. So I have hot. That issue.
It was so hot. Yeah.
I think the only thing I mention is that you've worked for Politico, correct?
Yes, that's true.
You've worked for CNN.
Yes.
You now currently, the job you have now,
what would
your
you
day
say
job,
you do here?
Your job that you have now, it sounds to me like you tell stories to people.
Yeah, that's
that you'd be, basically that, does that mean do you go to what kindergartens or
gather around children? Get your carpets square.
It's
and
time for Chris Freites' story.
Once upon a time, there was a very powerful New York businessman.
Oscar, you were in here when I asked him when we first started working together. He said, well, I basically tell stories, right?
Yes.
Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
So what did you do? Your job now, your day job now,
yes.
Which we never, by the way, Political Persuasions, we get right into it. All right, so we don't have time to have these kind of discussions.
Right.
On this show, my bread and butter, if you will, and I will. I will tell you this. I said that, Rob, so you couldn't. So the job you have now, tell us about the company you are working with, your company now. What do they do?
So basically, I started a company called Storyline because when I was in news, that's what I love about the news, going around shooting stories. And, you know, I was an investigative reporter at CNN for many years, and we would fly around the country. We would shoot these stories. We would go where nobody else was going. And you'd have, you know, members on the floor of the House of Representatives, you know, banging their fists. You know, CNN knows more about this than we do. We got to get $1 million to the Inspector General. Get to the bottom of this. And I was like, this is awesome, right? This is
same
so fun
thing going on nowadays.
Right? So fast forward a little bit, and like I got pulled back into the political coverage, right? So that largely meant that I found myself in a primary state, usually in the dark, standing outside in the cold, saying some version of this stand-up, which was, Donald Trump said some crazy today. Hillary Clinton said, nuh-uh, back to you. All right, thanks, Chris. Let's bring in our panel. You know, and it'd be like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd be on the strip in Vegas. There'd be drunk people. Oh, sit down, you know. And, they'd be in my ear. Well, we know we gave you 90, but could you really keep it to 60? We're really packed. And it's like, could you cut 30 seconds out of the 8-minute panel that I know is coming after me so I can report the news? So it was less... It was less fulfilling, Mike, to
so
do
the stories
all
you tell now, what would be, and you can even make one up, what would be the perfect kind of story that you would tell now? What are you, the investigative unit, right?
So we did investigative stuff, but now I kind of work with brands, nonprofits, trade associations, and I say to them, look, you know, you guys have all these great stories, all this great content. You should be your own newsrooms. You should be out there telling the stories in the way people want to hear them. Stop doing
these.
Sounds like
money to me, Oscar. Sounds like big bucks, doesn't it?
Big business.
Doesn't it sound like that to me? It sounds like really, as soon as you said trade
associations. Yeah.
Hand over this, man. License to print money. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Well, absolutely. You know, I was thinking your business could use a few stories.
Sounds like there's a budget.
You know, how about that story about Ben in accounting that has one leg and has worked feverishly to, you know, your image is tarnished. And right? It's getting the word out for that type of thing. That's what I'm hearing.
The storylinecompany.com can tell all of those stories.
Well, you know what's so great about this is when you describe what you do, I mean, you're a radio host and you do impressions and you're a comic, but you really can, you describe yourself as a storyteller, Mike. That's how you image yourself.
So I don't tell jokes. I do tell stories.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly
what I do. I've tried to tell jokes. I've been horrifyingly embarrassed telling jokes on stage.
Did you do stand up?
Well, we would open back in the day. Don and I would open for stand up comedians.
Okay.
Way back in the day.
You did Andrew Dice Clay, right?
Oh, Jack and Jill went up a hill.
Oh!
Each with a buck and a quarter. Jill came down with 250.
I don't think that we opened for Dice. We opened for Gary Shandling. We opened for Roseanne at one point. And when I say opened, that's a misnomer. We emceed the event.
Okay.
And I told a terrible joke. I remember being at the Warner Theater over to the right of the stage and telling the joke, standing next to Don, and crickets. And when you get the crickets, of course, he was enormously supportive of me when that happened. It was, I still have the tire marks on the back of my ass that from when I was thrown under that particular bus. So I tell stories, and then, so what you're telling me about your job, and that, by the way, that was, I felt like I was listening to an accountant or a financial planner explain a derivative when you were telling about what you were, you know, I know you don't, so you don't like doing the old sticky stuff. What you do now is you go to these companies or these associations and you say, you've got a good story here.
Right.
You need to get the word out. So is it kind of a PR thing?
So to give you an example, I was in Philadelphia.
What are you, Chris?
What are you?
What is your job?
I am new, okay? I am doing something nobody's ever done before, Mike. And
okay, good.
It's just so amazing that I need to explain it to you. No, look, the upshot is.
So everybody hit play and record because here
in the room know what he does yet? Does anybody in the room know what he does yet?
I've had multiple conversations about what he does.
See, there you go.
Yeah, so I know. So it's unfair for me to explain it.
There you go.
Excuse me, Oscar.
Well, I'm on the outside looking in.
Oscar's curious.
I care about people in our family, so I ask them about themselves.
Who's on the outside looking in? Here's what I figured out. This is a guy.
Oof, you, Oscar. I care about other people, Michael, and I ask about their stories.
And that's, you know what, he asks, but he doesn't care. Because his soul is black as pitch.
Yeah.
Doesn't care unless it really, at the heart of everything, it applies to him.
That's right. He's saying, can I get money out of this?
I've got a man in Florida you need to meet.
But...
After
that's
my
basically
dealings,
what happened,
yeah,
too.
It is. That's basically how it went down.
After my dealings with Chris and having met him and being on the outside looking in, he is a guy, this guy Chris Freites, who is fabulous looking. And he carries makeup, and he comes in and he talks.
That's my job. That's basically. And then I get other people.
Oh, tall,
too.
Very, very tall.
Very tall.
Two sentences to explain what you do.
Brief
for
sentences.
A living outside, because it's certainly not political persuasion. Unless we can get 10,000 of our listeners to download this week's episode. Okay?
Well, which they're going
to
do.
But to this week, I want the biggest numbers we've ever gotten, all right? We are working our asses off to get this show on the radar and to make it a smashing success because it's funny and it's informative and it's intelligent. So, two sentences.
Two sentences. I report and find the characters that tell stories for organizations.
That works.
He has another sentence still.
That works.
Yeah, I mean, I can be very... brevity is a thing. You know, I did television.
Brevity is a thing.
You find, and is it usually... it's not your run-of-the-mill, like, news story. It's stories within corporations.
or it's stories about the people who are affected, right? So if you're a nonprofit and you need to get more donors, well, you probably ought to be out there showing the donors what you do and finding the people that you help. Or if you're a corporation, you know, and you create jobs, well, you probably ought to go show how those jobs impact those people and tell the stories of those people. So it's
You make your stories available to news outlets? Is that how this works too?
No, we distribute it on social. So you you start with who your audience is. So you're like, okay, well, these are the people we need to reach, and then you go find the characters that will speak to that audience.
I understand it now. Do you guys understand it?
I used to understand it. Now I don't anymore.
Yeah, there you go.
What don't you understand? And you're just saying that to be funny.
I'm just being funny. He tells the story, Mike.
Okay. For example, what does your sweatshirt say today?
Oh, it's the Marx Brothers today.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me tell you a story about Harpo.
If the Diabetes Foundation needed a video to really show what diabetes is doing to Americans, right? Mm-hmm.
They could bring the camera into our studio
to Rob,
and shoot the man with the Marx Brothers.
And then show the man with the Marx Brothers sweatshirt on, and then get a tight shot of his toes and talk about what he's going through because of
and it applies to this. What was the company you were talking about?
The Diabetes Foundation.
Hey, you know what speaks to that?
Where's he going?
It wouldn't have to be the Diabetes Foundation. Offset. It could be perhaps, let's say, the Forehead Organization.
I got a present can use it. I can use the present that a listener sent me and what I can do it. I can do it now.
Oh, God. Please do it. Please do it.
You won't get any older and you won't ever die. Diabetes. The diabetes will kill you. Stop eating that goddamn fried food. My vision shot.
Is that framed?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Framed.
It's such a good Wilfred
and
Brimley.
And signed. To Mike Wilfred Brimley.
Wow. That is awesome.
That is a beautiful thing.
Happiness is a good morning constitutional.
You literally have the protagonist from Cocoon in Cocoon Land.
And remember what we've learned on this show is when Wilfred Brimley made Cocoon, he's younger than Mike is now.
Oh, I feel incredibly guilty for not giving the thanks to the person that sent this to me. I probably mentioned him in a previous show, or I know I sent him a personal message, but I'd like to give him credit publicly because it's in my office now. I don't have a lot in my office. I have Wilfred Brimley in my office.
Wait, it's signed and made out to you. Isn't he dead?
No, he's still alive.
He's with us, yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how old, by the way, Rob likes to tell me this story. Do you know how old Wilfred Brimley was when he shot the movie Cocoon about the people in the assisted living?
I'm going to guess, since Rob just said it, younger than you.
Yeah, at that time, younger than me now, he was 50. He was only 50.
Oh, I didn't know
when
he was 50.
When he did that show playing 20 years older.
Wow. That's right.
That's what he did.
He was a young youngster.
We won't get any older and we won't ever die.
Was he the one who... No, it was... Don Ameche that did the cannonball off the diving board in that.
Yeah, and Don Ameche was genuinely coming to the pool. He has the best line coming from the pool. He's like, "You too? You got a boner too?" That's one of the great moments in the
cinema.
Great moments in cinema. Yes, well said.
Fantastic. Blue Steel cat couldn't scratch it. But anyway, all right. So Chris Freitz is on a new show called Political Persuasions with yours truly on the More Network, and we are having a lot of fun because although you are doing what you do now, your background is in political coverage, and these are interesting times. And although you know, I can certainly understand, especially when I read books by correspondents, what the grind is. It's fairly tough. People don't have any real concept unless they take a deep dive on it. Just what a grind it is, and how much crap you guys have to deal with, and how much travel. Just uncomfortable travel, and how much you have to be put in situations, and you're 24/7. You're on call. I have tremendous esteem for the people that cover the White House and politics, just based on the fact that they have to go all over the world to do this. And are there times when I guess it can be fun and good, but most of the time it's a slog, is it not?
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it. Yeah, it's a slog. I always make the joke that the more prestigious the beat sounds in Washington, I'm covering Capitol Hill, I'm covering the White House, like the less fun it is. Like they have to make it prestigious for you to want to do it. I mean, basically covering the White House is sitting in a booth with three other people that is, I don't know, 4x4. 5x5.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. It's smaller than the studio we're in right now.
It's and very, very tough to do.
You're subterranean, and you're just constantly reacting. You know, when you're covering campaigns, you're up before dawn. You go to bed well after midnight. You get 3-4 hours of sleep. And, you know, the joke was like, you know, Ambien and Adderall, man. Like, better living through chemistry.
That, you know, so if you really want to get your little political fix in these crazy times, we have a lot of fun with it on Political Persuasions. A brand new show will drop today, and Chris is going to be just hanging out and sitting with us, and it's going to be a lot of fun to have him here with us. And then we will do another show, and we will not be out in the cold. We will actually be in a warm studio.
Yes.
Beautiful. Just flapping our
here. That's my favorite part, is like I can watch and read all the news, talk to my sources, and talk to my friends who are still up there, and then sit in a very warm studio and have an astute conversation with a political observer as smart as Michael Mara.
Oh, oh, look at that.
It's very nice. Wow.
Ding, ding.
Hey, he just told your story.
That was so kind. That was so kind. And it was bull.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Can we have words like flammable, inflammable, and non-inflammable? Why are there three of them? Doesn't it seem to you as though two words ought to be able to handle that idea? I mean, either the thing flams or it doesn't flam. Flammable is what it says on the side of the truck. Flammable. As if you're going to get out of your car at 60 miles an hour and smoke on his truck. Right? The reason it says flammable on the truck is so that just in case you should be spinning out of control, 60 or 70 about to hit the truck, you'll know what it was that was going on. Gives you a little time to make plans, you know? Put the cigarettes out! Put the cigarettes out! Of course, there's a moment just after beginning to blow up when you stop blowing up and you say, flammable.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. If you're here, you're in the know. We're on air, on demand, and heard 24/7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. Right now is the best time to take advantage of financial opportunity, but you got to do it before it's too late. Home values have gone up, so you can refinance to pay off other debt, making it tax deductible, or refi to eliminate PMI. That's mortgage insurance. Cornerstone First Financial will be able to get you through the process quickly and easily. They know how to help. Here's a true story. It's likely that the Fed will raise rates 3 times this year. 3 times, sad, right?
Sad, right?
Sure. So you need to get locked in before those rates go way up. Cornerstone First Financial can do it before it's too late. The entire Santana clan loves Cornerstone First Financial because they're our neighbors in Washington, D.C., and they can help you. And I know your brother, Jose.
My brother-in-law, myself.
Your brother-in-law. That's like, incredible.
Really. And we just had somebody write in from California, from the TMOS family, because I ran into Mark yesterday. And while they're not licensed in California yet, they helped them find the answers they needed.
Smart guys.
Because they care.
They just like to help.
Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. That's cornerstonefirst.com/TMOS 202-625-1221. Do it right now with Cornerstone First Financial. They are licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and Crazyland.
No, that's
as
Florida.
I like to call Florida. Crazyland. Yeah, it's a little goofy down here. Yesterday, in the half-hour drive, maybe 25-minute drive that my wife does to pick up our kid from preschool and bring him back here, two accidents, including a Lincoln MKZ on its roof, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir.
Sturdy cars, American made.
Yeah, sturdy. They got a lot of them down here.
Tough to flip it.
Tough
to flip that car.
Yeah, very tough. There had to be. So there's some traffic issues with the blue hair.
MKZ, the most, I guess, mistaken Uber car in the city.
Really?
When you walk up to an MKZ, you think it's an Uber driver because that's what a lot of them are, at least this side of town. And
Roomy.
And Roomy.
A lot of trunk space.
Apparently, Oscar only goes black. He's like,
I just you know,
Uber
black.
Yes. He doesn't go Uber X. He's like, I get confused with all the Lincolns I'm getting into.
To be fair,
I don't get into those Hyundais.
To be fair, I was the first one on the show and the first one amongst all my friends that was using Uber, and they all thought I was a douche. They were like, I can't
believe. Well, that wasn't the reason.
You can't drive.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
You can't drive to the event. How dare you? And I said, no, you could actually, for the same price as a cab, get a nice vehicle to pick you up and drive you somewhere so you don't have to swerve home.
I prefer Lyft, Oscar.
Yes, do I.
Well, you know, like with all the politics and such. Oh, yeah. The Lyft drivers I've had either have candy or they have a disco ball. Either
it
of them
sounds
work.
Like a child molester's
vehicle. Yes, it does. It does.
No, the Lyft drivers are not child molesters. They are a fine client of TMOS.
Yes.
And that's why we love them, ladies and gentlemen. They're fantastic.
Lyft came after Uber.
Lyft did come after
Uber.
But
Lyft drivers seem happier.
Well, because they vet them. They actually have a better way. And per their
it's a better company.
Business plan. And their culture, they don't just accept anybody. They want to make sure the person they're bringing on to their team is part of the culture.
I don't know whether this was a Lyft or an Uber, but I will tell you the very first time that I used a ride-sharing service, the first thing I noticed was, did you say last week? Did you sneak that in?
I did.
Are you getting into the habit of Oscar freights? Are you doing that?
It might have something to do with that chair.
Last week. He's so old. Last week. He doesn't do anything that's new and trendy.
I'm surprised they have it in Florida. Yeah, like, who's driving it? Blue hair is driving blue hairs? Like, who's it? Yeah, you know what? Driver.
And that's when I hear that under your breath, I'm supposed to go,
how's that?
Three years ago, I think your first ride.
Three, four years ago.
Yeah.
7 years ago. 12 years ago when I got into my first Uber when they were doing the prototype. I just got the service. I got the car. I called a car. And they brought up the guy, the driver. I remember the name of the car. It was a Toyota Corolla. The guy got up in a Toyota. And let me explain to you, me getting into a, this is the sound I make getting into a Toyota Corolla. I got in. I said, this is not going to work. I couldn't get into the back seat.
Didn't they prepare that Corolla the same way they prepared the poles in Philadelphia?
they Crisco? The sides of the girl. This was not necessarily even a weight issue. This was a flexibility issue. And I was sitting there going, if I get down into a full squat position, I will wedge myself. I will sardine myself into the back of this car. And the guy said, I think the guy said to me, why don't you try up front? And so I moved out and I got into the front of the car. And then this was the sound of the getting in the front. And it didn't work.
Still
and that's
no
when
go.
I discovered, I think, Oscar, I think you told me. You said, Mike, you should get an Uber black, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, or you could go to the SUV. You could get a larger vehicle.
It's the big, and then, so I don't get it because it's luxe. I get it just because I like the size.
When we were
in New Orleans the last time, we used lifts all over the city.
That's how we got
and
around.
And they were, you know, some of the angriest Lyft driver in the history of Lyft driver.
Oh, yeah, we got a couple of those.
Remember that guy?
Yes.
Were you in the Uber when he was talking about Trump? And he was sitting there, something like, he was sent by God.
I'm like, can I get out of the car, please? Could I get out of the car, please? No, thank you very much. I hate that.
I didn't like the cars there. Were you in that one?
I think I was in that one. We also got a really angry Lyft to the airport. Pony and I had a guy who was screaming something about genetic modifications of people. And I mean, and the problem about an airport one, there's no getting out early on a Lyft when you're headed to the airport because it's a set destination. It's not like if you're in the court, you can say, that bar looks good. I'll get out here because we are on the highway in traffic. And he's saying, they're changing people in laboratories. And I looked at Pony and I said, okay.
Did you make the mistake of engaging? I mean, because there's like...
I always engage.
See,
I always
this is
do.
The problem.
I guess you're right.
This is why there's a whole etiquette now to car sharing.
Is there really? Because
yes.
I, I would think that the one guy, another guy in New Orleans who, and I engage with almost all the drivers. I like talking to the, I like to hear the stories of what they're doing, what they're up to. But I didn't need the information from the guy talking about, I asked him, I said, how do you like driving for Lyft? Because they are a client of the Mike O'Mara show. And I said, how do you like driving for Lyft? He said, it's great. And then he told us, except for the one time, I think when I first started and someone... someone vomited in the back of his Prius.
But they get $300 bucks for that. So there's like
there's a premium.
They get $300 for somebody.
So basically, or it's $100. Like you, if
it's $175.
There you go.
How do you know?
Because
paid the fee.
We were at a boat event and there was a couple causing trouble. And because I have a big heart and I'm a big dummy, I sent them home in an Uber because I was like, look, you guys got to go home. You're cut off. Like you're not going to start a scene here, right? And I sent him home in an Uber, and then I got the push notification, or a Lyft, I'm sorry, and I got the push notification from Lyft on my phone that said, you've been charged $175.
Because you got the Lyft for them.
The girl or the guy got sick on the way home.
Yeah.
And then I called Lyft. I said, there must be some mistake. My rating has gone down to essentially a 4 from a 5 from a 4.9, and you've charged me $175. And they said, by the terms of service, which it should be, that's why everybody should protect.
You know, of course,
you got to protect your Lyft or Uber rating. You got to protect.
If I was a Lyft driver, what I would do is I would have like a big thermos of oatmeal, and I would pretend that people were.
It's a cleanup
all the time.
Cleanup fee.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What if you sit there and it's like you pour that and you take a picture, right? You have to send it to them a picture.
And a report.
That is dastardly.
You get some vegetable soup and some oatmeal.
They'll probably get away with that maybe 4 or 5 times, but then they'll
in high school, Brad and I figured out the best way to make fake vomit is equal parts of both kinds of clam chowder.
Oh, wow.
Like Manhattan and
Then you get the Manhattan with the red and then the creamy, and it gives that perfect texture, and you've got some chunks going on.
Well, you wonder why would, they didn't start dating until they got out.
I was saying, when was your first girlfriend?
I'm shooting for this Friday.
You know what? I did it as an adult when we went to Chicago to the Cubs game.
What?
With Don and I think Gary... I don't know what his name. He was a sales guy, and for some reason we made fake vomit in the toilet.
I don't know
why we did that. I don't know what we were drinking the whole week. It was really weird. I mean, I don't know why we did that, but we did that. But that
nice
was also
recall.
That was the greatest time, and I can't believe that the greatest time I ever had at a baseball game was not in Fenway Park. It was in Wrigley Field. And I've told this story before. It's hard to tell on the regular show because we have to kind of edit it and we have to make it family friendly. We're in back of a row that has a very, very lovely young lady. And she's noticeably hot. She's beautiful.
Over the top.
And then the young men in back of us, and she was very ample in a certain part of her body.
Okay.
And the men behind us began to cheer for the game, but under their breath, they were commenting on her assets. And they did such a way where it's just like, let's go, Cubby. Come on, big. And they throw the word. And they do it like as it was tailing off. And we began to laugh. I don't think I've ever laughed at a ball game harder than I was laughing at this. And they come on, great. All right, come on, let's go.
Were they aware that they were entertaining you?
They, as soon as they became aware of the fact that they were entertaining, it increased tenfold.
Also,
and they were doing this. And we didn't care, less about
that,
the game.
That wouldn't. I beg to differ. Maybe you guys could enlighten me. Do you think any shtick like that would survive in today's climate, current climate?
No, not only wouldn't it not survive, but someone would report us for even laughing
That's
at
right.
it. And it would go down like that, where somebody would say, oh, by the way, here's what you were doing, objectifying someone. And, you know, but when you look back on it, this is what was I doing?
Yeah.
Yep. And I've learned, I was laughing. No one was any the wiser, but it was something where I would have gotten in a great deal of trouble. Now, where's Oscar gone?
He's back.
He's vanished.
He's shutting the door.
What's going on out there?
I shut the door.
Are you trying to direct Adrian while we're doing the show and try to get him to do things?
No, he went and got Chris a coffee.
Yeah.
Because the man needed some coffee between breaks.
I'm just looking
He picked up a Red Bull.
Do you have is that a control panel you have?
I have a second board Redundant.
Yeah, we
always like redundant. To run with redundants.
Safe flying is very safe because of the incredible redundancy.
Yeah,
that
they exactly.
Have
we need to have a board for redundancy simply because I'm actually on this mic and I want to make sure that somebody's running the board.
Is that why are you doing that?
So then I can mute myself when Rob talks. There's no echo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're actually running the board now?
We're both running the board.
Because Oscar knows when he's going to talk.
Yeah, it's redundant.
It's redundant.
Like you don't know when he's going to talk?
Well, I could guess, but he knows exactly when he's going to do
this
it because he's Oscar.
Does this fall into the category of another responsibility that we've taken away from you?
No. I put this on my plate because I knew that Rob knows that.
That's the exact same thing.
That I'm going to talk.
Isn't that the exact same thing?
It's just the inverse.
It's just the inverse. You just said, no, we're not taking a responsibility away from Rob. I'm just doing it now.
We're sharing it because at the core of redundancy, we need two people to run a board.
Why is that?
Because Rob doesn't know when I'm going to talk, and I don't know when he's going to talk. So how about this? Rob, you say something.
Hi, it's me, Rob.
Now, talk like you're actually doing the show.
Hey, you know what about Oscar? He's really great. He's always doing stuff. Oh, he's doing good things, and he's making the show better.
If I mute myself, he sounds richer, and so does Chris. And when I talk, I unmute myself.
When do you mute Rob?
I don't mute Rob at all.
Okay. Maybe that's the problem.
No, look, if you want me to be on camera while we talk, I have to be closer to Chris Freitz, which means I'm closer to his mic when he's talking, and the gate crosses over. There's really inside
baseball. That's the weeds.
Yeah,
we don't need to know that.
But that's why I picked up the iPad, because if I'm going to be closer to Chris so you can see me, then I have to deal with the iPad this
way.
Why
are you talking to me like I don't know anything about audio?
Because the only reason I'm here next to Chris Freitz is so you can see me, which makes no sense because this is radio.
No, I have to see your facial. That's the whole reason we have this setup.
For one day, can I just be over here?
I don't want to broadcast in the blind.
Doesn't this work just the same?
Like, you're not Ed Walker.
Come on now. Now
he can't see that Oscar's giving you double middle finger.
That's right. No, I'm holding on. It's redundancy.
It's redundancy, Mike.
But getting now back to you, Rob. Yeah. Getting back to you. Wouldn't this all be unnecessary with him doing that if you were doing it?
True. However, the
you don't
precision,
run a board, though. You don't. When you're talking,
this is not about me.
You don't press the buttons.
The thing is that Oscar knows. Okay.
Efficiently.
All right. You're right. But the fact is,
you
for
said
precision.
Like, All right. I don't do my job.
No.
Why are you so demanding, Mike?
Gravity, those ham hands.
The problem is that Oscar knows exactly when he's going to talk, and I don't know when Oscar's going to talk.
I think everything sounds great. I am not kidding. I have listened to your microphone sound like this all morning. You're the one that decided to get all exasperated with me and tell me, Mike.
No, I'm not exasperated with you. I'm trying to just say that this is actually a really great thing that Oscar is doing because he knows exactly when he's going to do a tip in. You have to admit the show is a fast moving show. And if I were to have Oscar's mic muted when he had something to say, it would be bad. But he knows he can just click in.
Mm-hmm. I'm clicking in now.
Yay.
By the way, if the direction you are going in right now, I don't think you need to mute.
Well, if you face Rob,
you might. No, then it'll bounce off the wall. We are very particular about our sound,
we are.
Chris, on this show. We're very finicky about it. And I will say this. I know that the people that are rolling their eyes and smashing their car hoods right now, their dashboards.
That's who I was thinking of. Like, the non-audiophiles in the audience who are like, why are they still talking about this stuff?
Yeah, they can't hear it, and they get frustrated with it. I just get curious. When I see different things going on, and when I see Oscar, that looks like he's got a piano keyboard in front of him, I was just kind of curious what was going on.
It's redundant.
It's at the core of redundant.
We're playing Redungeons and Dragons.
Okay. All right.
And you know what's also great, Mike, is that when the podcast village isn't using their redundant,
yes,
we can use it.
That's right.
Oh, so that's a machine that came from them?
Yes.
Ooh. I like it when you steal from others. That's wonderful. Thank you. All right. You're off the hook, Rob.
Yeah.
Mike, you're also off the hook. You're awesome.
Everybody wins.
Why am I off the hook?
No, no, he means like you're off the hook,
you're
son.
Off the hook. Oh, I get it. I get jokes. All right, smart ass. We will take
that's
a redundant. Redundant. We'll take a break and we will come back and talk about something. It's what we do on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Let's play The Feud.
The Family Feud.
We have the O'Mara family.
Yay.
Yay. And the Zabaios family.
Pony, name something that is slippery and hard to hold on to.
Hot dog, right, say.
A hot dog. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The slippery hot dog.
The
slippery
hot dog. All
right.
I dropped my hot dog again. I dropped my. Yeah, I wish it had a f***ing handle on it.
You see it all the time when you're watching the Nationals.
That's a long fly ball out to right field. The fans are really going to drop their hot dogs.
That was a real hot dog dropper.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This segment brought to you by Amazon. Everyone knows that Amazon is the best. If you need it, Amazon has it. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day? Oscar Santana. Oh, Rob Spiewak. Oscar.
It's me.
Who's doing it?
It's me today.
It's you. It's yes, Redemption.
And it's what's fantastic. If you're like me and you're like Mike and you're into the vinyl again, there is an amazing box set. They put out Otis Redding's 7 studio albums in mono for the first time in 40 years.
It's called Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Is that that guy?
That's one of those albums. Yeah, Pain in My Heart, Otis Blue, Dictionary of Soul. It's called the Definitive Studio Album Collection. I have been wearing it out on my record player.
Hey,
you got to listen to it.
He loves us.
So hit it. But it is Otis Redding, the Definitive Studio Album Collection. You will love it.
Amazon really does have everything. You can find that, the Otis Redding collection, and more at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Do it today, everybody. Welcome back to the show, whoa, whoa. We have talked about on the show an older show. It was released, I think, in 2011 called Black Mirror. And I don't know when it made its way to Netflix, but I'm binging on it now.
It's a British show, right?
Care. It's a British show. Don't care what the date is because... it is similar to Twilight Zone in that it's all-encompassing. Every episode is like a mini-movie.
It's called an anthology series. That's what they call it.
It seems to be... most of the episodes I've seen so far seem to be focused on futuristic themes. And there was a futuristic theme on one of these episodes that got me thinking about what if this was really true. And in this episode of Black Mirror... everybody can be, by choice, they can be implanted with a chip, goes right behind their ear, where everything is recorded. And it's really something where, when you think about it, probably not all that far-fetched
right.
when we think of digital storage
of stuff.
Well,
that's what's great about that show is it's always just like a click off, right? Like
yeah,
oh, this could be like in 10 years. Like it's You could have it. It's not so futuristic, like, oh, that's never going to happen in my lifetime.
And, you know, with body cameras on police officers, when we're talking about that now, this story centers around this guy. He's a lawyer. It's obvious his career's not going all that well. And
no spoilers.
it was released in 2011, for God's sake. He replays a job interview that didn't go well. And it's just, that's how they whet your appetite for
right.
this. And he gets home, I guess, a little early and unexpectedly. And his wife is at there having this cocktail party, and his wife is talking to this guy. And he picks up these cues for, you know, whether she's having an affair or not with the guy. And it is just riveting. And it led me to think about the fact that, especially in today's society, how weird would it be if we could not lie? Because here is a legitimate spoiler alert for this episode.
Okay.
Ultimately, his suspicions are well-founded. He goes kind of off the deep end, and he finds out that, yes, indeed, his wife not only had a long-term relationship with this guy that he didn't tell him about, but they've had an affair within the last 18 months. And, in fact, she got pregnant. And so the kid that he thought was going to be his kid, it's riveting. But it also makes me realize...
it's redundant.
I hate that word. That non-word.
It's a non-word.
The thing about
yeah.
it is,
there's like two guys being the husband.
How? First of all, Chris. Chris, you talked about the fact that, you know, all this stuff is so close. You could easily see something like this where the storage capacity
Right.
The digital storage capacity we have nowadays with the cloud and everything else, you could conceivably have these devices where you could record. I mean, it's like, probably 20, 30, 40 years down the road, but it could, I think it could happen.
But that's the basis of science fiction, right? But what separates it from fantasy is that it could happen.
It could happen. But what it reminds me of, Mike, remember before smartphones when you could get into a fight about a like a weird fact or like who played somebody in a movie or what they batted you would just argue about it, and now
can't
like,
do it now.
People just like pick up their phone and like nope, and then it ends the conversation. And that's what this was like, right? Because it was like, well, remember when we were at that party and you were like hitting on that guy, and then they would like play the clip from like 15 years ago and you would watch it again so like, and then they had a character in that exact show where she said I got the chip removed, and everybody was like, what?
You
know, like, you can't count on organic memories, 75% of them are false, like, and it was like this whole conversation, but it was
really amazing,
really interesting.
It was fascinating, and it got me to thinking, what if we lived in a world, I have to think it might be better if we really lived in a world where you weren't able to lie.
It would ruin the life of Mac Macintosh.
No, it would ruin everything about society.
It ruined the shows.
Yeah,
we work on, because when we catch people in the lie, that's radio gold.
The best.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But don't. I'm not. Let's take the shows out of the equation.
Okay.
What if really? I mean, because these people.
I'm going to the dentist.
You just, I think you would still BS people, like whether you like them at all.
Right, but then they would go back and play it and tell that you didn't.
Yeah, and then there's also the coloration. I mean, an exaggeration.
Right.
Is that a lie?
Also, people would stop dating because all the things they'd lie about in the early stages of courting each other.
Courting.
Right? When they're dating, when you're like, oh, yeah, I work out 5 days a week. Yeah, I love CrossFit.
Wouldn't it make your relationships better, because everything you would be telling the person that you were courting would have to be the truth?
It depends,
it would be full disclosure. Well, you're not necessarily always going to go back and look at this person's
memories.
Let's
say when it would start. Like, let's say it started tomorrow. Would my spouse know everything I've lied about up until now, or would it just start
great
now?
Great question.
No, it would just start now.
Oh, then it's fine.
Right? Because it's not recorded.
I'm not buying another jukebox. No, of course not.
If it was something that was implemented, if it was something that was implemented, everybody would know the rules, and the rules would be that you can't do it. And really, when you think about
interpersonal relationships are built on trust, right?
That's very true.
So if they're built on trust, then this would make a lot of people's lives a lot easier. That's
I would think it would be easier. Mm-hmm. And I think, but at the same time, if everything was there, like mistakes you made and things you would have done differently, I think it could subject people to madness, where you would go mad because
What happened to the guy in the show.
He goes mad.
He goes mad.
But he busted her, and ultimately
ruined his life.
It ruined his life, and he's obsessed with her at the very end, too.
But don't people sometimes go mad? Don't chronic liars, people that lie all the time, they go crazy because they have so many stories to keep sorting out in their head, because what they're living is a lie. And so that's why when someone,
you'd have to call the Realm Network about that. I don't know whether.
Is it Elliot Spitzer that got busted? I guess the audio came out of him yelling at his hooker this past week. Have you guys heard about that?
No, really?
He just wanted to move right by.
Mr. Socks? Mr. Socks is back?
Yeah, so Mr. Socks, he had some audio released. It's on TMZ, where he's yelling at one of the escorts that he's going to have his family killed. Their family killed, right?
What? Hold it. Elliot Spitzer is threatening to kill the family of
the escort's family or parents.
That is not okay.
And he's doing like,
why is he threatening her with
because she's extorting. She had been extorting.
Hold on. I just want to take a pause here for Rob. like that's not okay. Okay, like, is there an etiquette that you're
read the contract? It's like the Uber thing. You can't vomit, right. And you can't threaten to kill your escort's family. You signed.
Is this after she threatened to release the information about him?
She was blackmailing him. The FBI went after her. She has apparently just released the tapes of him just yelling at her and threatening her.
She just released them.
I just heard it yesterday, right?
Oh, really?
So, but it's like a Mel Gibson type of situation where he's just yelling at this Russian escort on the phone and she's recording him. And
yeah, I will hurt you.
But
why did this just come out yesterday?
Because I think it. from what I understand, and again, I'm almost 100% positive I'm not wrong about this, is that the young lady was being investigated for extortion, right? And she had extorted approximately $400,000 from Elliot Spitzer.
Whoa.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Okay.
I think that now that they've gone through the legal process.
But the one that he got busted with wasn't Russian, was she?
No, this is a different girl. This is this one that's a bigger deal. Yes, right?
Oh, no. She was like a Brooklyn girl.
Yeah.
Yes. That came down on the train.
Yeah, that was back in the day.
But this is a different girl, right? So you're sitting here and you're like, man, I can't believe this guy after all this time is still, and I'm in the back of a lift at this point, hearing this show that's going on. And
always gets back to these ride sharing with you.
And the driver says something that I've only heard on this show, but I guess it's ubiquitous between certain, I guess it's finally become, it's outside of the Urban Dictionary, just out there, right? He said, man, these dream killers, they'll destroy your careers.
That's all he said. Dream killers.
And then you have the host of the show, might have been on the satellite. He goes on and says, you know, I can't believe that these guys that are paying for the sex are shocked when the escort that they're paying for decides to extort money from them. Like, how
if they can't trust a prostitute.
I just don't know. Like, this guy didn't see this happening. Let me say this, though.
If we were all on the same playing field, and this is why I put this on the show prep today, because I said if that was the way it was, and you know, it wasn't like Orwellian where you were forced to get the chip, but most people had the chip that recorded everything
in
their lives.
Would you get the chip though?
Well, here's the way I look at it. I think that if it was a playing field for everyone, and it eliminated the ability to deceive. And all you would be, first of all, removing something pretty significant in the human condition. But then if it got established where you knew you couldn't do it, then how would we, at a certain point, wouldn't life be a little easier to negotiate because people just couldn't lie anymore? Lying is such a part of the human condition.
But I also wonder, like, I don't think it necessarily eliminates lying altogether, because you could tell me something and I could say, yeah, sure, Mike, pull that up. And you'd be like, nah, I'm not going to pull that up. Right? So then I'll assume you're lying.
True.
Right? But
that's
like, true. I need access to your memories, and you'd have to display them on a screen.
Yeah, in the science fiction piece in Black Mirror, they don't have access to that.
They
you have to actually give somebody's permission with that.
Because
but
in the job interview, he's like, it didn't go well. And like the party is like, oh, hey, throw it up. Let's watch. Like, oh, watch my like floundering job interview party entertainment.
You.
Right. And
we'll judge you.
We'll grade you.
So that brings up another thing, is if you can't lie, yes, it might make life easier to negotiate, but it would also make many situations less pleasant. It would make life a little less pleasant.
Would it eliminate crime?
No.
It would not eliminate crimes of passion.
It wouldn't eliminate crime.
No, people can still rob a bank.
You just still put a mask. There's
cameras now. Where are you going? I'm going to rob a bank.
But in the event that you had access to, like, if you were caught and you had access to, you know, you would never have a trial that would result in a bad verdict, because, you know, you would have the photographic evidence on everything.
But you'd still have to catch them. You'd have to catch them.
Right. 100%.
I know. No. I'm just saying, what do you think? You're just sitting here arguing with me, Rob. I'm just trying to say, what do you think? Do you think it would be a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it would be, it would make things simpler, but it would make things less probably pleasant. Because if someone says, you know, you would never be able to go up and say, wow, you look really nice today, unless someone really looked nice. And how many times do they?
Well, but you could still do that, right? You could still do that.
Because if they look nice.
No, they don't have to look nice. That's your opinion.
It's a lie, though. But
nobody's going to be able to prove that you think that.
Let me clarify here. All right. This is where the chip would come to play.
Okay.
And it's confirmed that Elliot Spitzer did do this.
Okay, good.
This is the truth.
Oscar is obsessed
when he yelled at her at the Plaza Hotel in Manhattan. Spitzer barked at her, go to Siberia and effing die, a-hole. And he continued, effing bitch, you can say that. Get out of my life. If I ever hear from you again, your parents will die, end quote.
Wow. He was upset.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she taped it.
Yeah. And she taped him. And
was she wearing a wire?
You know what's funny is that most of these people don't realize that these smartphones, now there's a zillion apps out there.
Sure, well, I'm a reporter. I realize.
Yeah, legal or not legal, you can record everything on,
well, what's
right?
Great is in Russia, you tape the hooker, but in America, the hooker tapes you.
What a country!
Thank you, Gilbert Godfrey. Thank you. All right, well, anyway, I just got to thinking. I think that's the type of thing, as Chris said, that is just a click away, that this could,
it could
be
happen,
something.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, might start with law enforcement where, you know, they've got the body cams and, you know,
we're all
going to
be robots.
We are. We'll be programmed, pre-programmed. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills when I discuss the number one problem with veganism. We'll be right back. I'll give you a clue. Thank you very much.
Hey, if you guys would love to see us, Rob and Joe, perform stand-up comedy, we have a great deal for you.
That's right. Go to the Rob and Joe Show webpage, robandjoeshow.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner.
And type in the promo code Mermelstein. We'll see you soon. robandjoeshow.com, the TMOS app, and of course, subscribe on iTunes.
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, this segment of our program brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you in need of great talent for your business but short on time? You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools. Let ZipRecruiter help. ZipRecruiter, post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and then invites them to apply. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. It doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Yes, I am here to tell you that I am enjoying the veganism. I am enjoying the lifestyle.
How long since your last stray from the program?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay.
You're not really a vegan if you cheat every day, though, right?
I don't cheat every day.
Oscar, put your head up. Be proud.
I don't cheat every day.
Every other day?
Is that kind of an Oscar impression?
A little bit,
I like that.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
It doesn't matter. You don't cheat every day.
It captures the attitude, certainly.
No, would I be religious about it? No, but is that the way we eat primarily? It is now, and I don't really spend all that much time thinking about it. Yesterday, there was a moment where I was out and about and walked by a restaurant and smelled something coming from the grill. They were grilling meat, and it
good
was one
smell
of the rare moments that I actually, I kind of said, that's something that it just appealed to me. But no, it's fine. But what has a lot of people warned me when we started this vegan deal that, how do I say this delicately, that there would be occasional urgency.
Right.
And I would tell them that when it comes to veganism, the best way that I would describe it would be when you gotta, you gotta.
Understood.
I mean, and it is, here's the difference.
Is it this like the fast pass, like in the HOV, or is it something you can go through a toll?
I gotta chime in here. I went vegan for a month, like a couple years ago, and no urgency, Mike. I don't like, I'm just.
Well, TV boy, let me just say that I'm experiencing. Yes, I know. Yeah, everything. It doesn't matter what I put into my incredible TV-ready body. Everything works fine for me. I
went vegan for a month. It sounds like you have IBS or something.
I don't have IBS. I am telling you that the only thing is when you have to go, you have to go.
Sure.
Badly. really bad. And it's happened now on two. And by the way, my schedule is usually quite regular and it's quite reasonable. But there are times now especially I talked about that vegan tuna salad that my wife makes with the garbanzo beans.
You said that, and so I just want to prove I almost sent this picture to all you guys, because that same night you were like, who wants tuna in their tuna salad? And then I took a picture. Doesn't that look delicious? I mean, that's I actually took
a picture of tuna.
It's actually
regular tuna salad.
Yeah, it's
because I happened to make it that same night, and I was like, I want to send it to the guys because it looks beautiful. Well, it's pink and wonderful.
Take a big tablespoon of that vegan tuna salad and put it in your blowhole. All right, thank you very much. That's the way I would look at it. Here it is. You know, seriously, take that real tuna salad and just.
Favorite was Rob. Who wants tuna in or tuna salad?
That's right, exactly.
I know. You can mock me all you will, but I will just tell you that the one thing I had been warned. That it gets the system going, because when you're eating meat and a lot of dairy, and it just kind of slows you down. Well, with the speed comes occasional urgency,
and this could regulate. I mean, as your body gets used to it,
I suppose. I suppose, but it just yesterday was
like a cleansing. Do you think you'll get
a detox vibe on it. Okay. I do feel though that I'm just not a 3-a-day person. Not really a 3-a-day person. I was a 1-a-day. Okay, right. I was a 1-a-day.
That's unhealthy.
And a 1-a-day is unhealthy.
No, I think 1-a-day is okay.
What do you do, Rob?
2.
Usually every day.
Both in the morning.
Wow, that's a heavy morning.
Yeah.
I mean, what time does your morning start?
Every morning.
I get up at 4:40 every day. So it's a long morning.
That is a lot. That's most people's like into their afternoon.
Yeah. So
you've done 8 hours by 12:30.
I have. I do more work before I move my bowels than most people do in a day.
That's the Marine Corps.
That's right. Join the Rob Corps.
Oscar, 1-a-day, 2-a-day?
If I'm healthy and I'm actually working out and I'm running, probably 2 or 3.
Three?
Two or three.
I've never counted two.
How are the bathrooms at the White House?
Great question.
No, they are.
That is a wonderful question.
They are. So I remember the first time I was 19, and I got invited to like a dinner with Bill Clinton because I was part of the press corps as a college kid.
Mm-hmm.
I had to cover something,
and Chris could be a girl's name, so he invited you.
And so I remember like walking in and I was like, I'm taking a whiz in the White House.
That's very cool.
Like this is amazing.
Very cool.
Like
very
I had cool. like I'm 19 years old and I'm cool. peeing in the White House. Like I was like, this is all right. I got used to it after time when I came back and worked here in Washington, but they're small, like everything there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of
because it's
small.
Old.
It's smaller than you would think. It's not cavernous.
It's old. It's right. old.
I'm talking
and
about
like,
the building, not
right. And the facilities are very much like you would find in any public building.
Okay.
Right? Like, they're urinals and, the industrial flush toilets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, there's a...
I didn't do that. Did I do that?
I like how you wanted to put it delicately.
Did I play that? I didn't play that. I didn't think I played that.
You might have hit somebody it with else? Your picture.
Really? Did I hit it with what picture?
Wilford.
I can't believe you have an autographed picture dedicated to you.
Awesome. My wife.
While we're on the subject, my record is 19 times.
Wow.
In a day.
Yeah.
In a day. Yeah. My taco salad. All right. Anyway.
Oh, a lot of lettuce. Right.
Dude, my wife worked at the American Diabetes Association for a while, and there was just a lot of diabetes. And she can she can whistle the S, right? And so she would just do diabetes. Yeah.
A diabetes is something you gotta watch out for.
I think that I'm doing my body better by the vegan lifestyle.
Right. Yeah.
But on two separate occasions, maybe three, since I've started, there's just like, it's like, whoa.
What does the run look like to the bathroom? Like, is it like short steps or
no,
are you?
I have enough control where I can actually, be cool about it.
Okay.
I can be cool. But like, for example, in the middle
hey,
of a round.
Man.
Be cool, boy.
No, it's just like, I don't look at somebody I'm playing golf with and go,
I gotta go. I gotta go, Dan. No, I just coolly go there and then do my business. And, you know, and I just, you can't linger.
Everyone take five.
And, yeah, or 15.
Oh, wait. If you're on a golf course, what, are you going into the woods? What's happening
there's
here?
There's a halfway house. There's the, you go, after nine holes, you get back to the clubhouse, and that's when the turn. But the last two holes prior to the turn were,
Yeah. Your form was impacted.
That wasn't all that was impacted. Am I right, ladies? There we go. All right. Anyway, stop that. All right. We'll take a break. We are with Chris Freitz from Political Persuasions, and we'll be doing a new Political Persuasion show today. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm Maddie, and this is my internship. I experience it twice a week at the Mike O'Mara Show. The start of the new year means it's award season. After discussing the Oscar nominations earlier in the week, I thought I'd create my own TMOS award show too. The following are the nominations for Best Lead Actor in a Documentary Series. Oscar Santana, Big O, Tiny House, based on the novel Push by Sapphire. Mike O'Mara in $2 Margaritas, an Iguana Mia story. Matt Ponyboy Bloom as himself in Three Cigarette Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. And Rob Ford for his role in True Life, I'm a Creep. Visit the TMOS website for a full list of this year's nominees. While you're there, be sure to catch up on all the fun and games on air at the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, she's a sweetie.
Awesome.
I love our interns. I really do. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Harry's. Did you know that using Harry's is as good for your wallet as it is for your
face?
Love Harry's.
Using Harry's can save you about $100 a year if you're a frequent shaver. That's smart. That's why I love Harry's. And Harry's is so sure of their blades, they're going to give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/TMOS. Just pay for shipping. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. I love Jeff and Andy. They bought their own German factory with over 100 years of blade-making experience, and they backed all their products with a 100% guarantee and at half of drugstore prices. Plus, the shave will be the best you've ever had. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. That is a $13 value for free when you sign up. Just cover shipping. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, a 5 precision-engineered blade cartridge with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, which Rob and I adore, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/TMOS. That's harrys.com/TMOS. Where is it? Hello?
News.
Thank
news.
You. All right. Yeah. Wilford Brimley.
Hit it, Wilford.
Wilford Brimley hits the button when I'm not looking, but no, I can't get a goddamn news sounder to play. Ridiculous. People are now making really convincing fake celebrity porn videos.
Wait, really?
We're not just talking about computer wizards here. There's a technology out there that lets just about anybody with a decent computer do it. It may have started with a Redditor named Deepfakes, who figured out how to face swap women like Gal Gadot and Taylor Swift into porn videos on his PC. He used a machine learning algorithm, which is a form of artificial intelligence, and videos he got off the web.
Wow.
Then another Redditor created an app that allows even technological devices to get in on the act. It's already terrifying that someone can basically come along and put anyone, including you or me, into a video, a porn video, and make people believe it's real. But the implications go way beyond smut. We already live in a world where it's hard to tell fake news from the real thing. Now add the technology to fake videos of just about anyone doing just about anything, and the tech is only getting better. That seems to be a recurring theme through the show today.
Yeah. Chrissy
Metz.
Very,
very scary. Okay. God. Enough with her. Once you become a meme, you're just out there at the whim of everyone on the internet, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? Mm. Not necessarily. Grumpy Cat just won a $710,000 copyright infringement case.
Whoa,
well, her owners did. A beverage company called Grenade had a license to sell a line of iced coffees called Grumpy Cat Grumpuccino. It's a great country, isn't it? But they were using the cat's image on other products, so the owners sued. Their lawyer says, quote,
It's important to, it's an important precedent when you have something like a meme online. It's the first verdict ever rendered in favor of a viral meme.
Would you like memes, another Grumpuccino, sir?
Thank you. Memes have rights, too.
No, they don't.
Call my office. We're going to sue the company that makes the Grumpuccino.
Is it true that the Grumpy Cat is just a garbage can?
Grumpy Cat's a garbage can. I love this man, and I have for a long time, and it's been my honor and privilege to have a chance to interview him a couple of times. NBC has the Super Bowl this year, so you would have thought that Bob Costas would be involved in the coverage to some degree. Well, he is not. There have been rumors that NBC took Costas off the Super Bowl because of comments made in November about how football, quote, destroys people's brains, even though that's true.
Yeah.
But Costas says it was mutual. Quote, not only do I not have a problem with it, I'm actually happy about it, he says. I've long had ambivalent feelings about football, so at this point, it's better to leave the hosting to those who are more enthusiastic about it.
That's good.
He's just this guy.
Class guy.
Different level. And he'd like it known that he's been outspoken on his concerns with football for years. So his recent comments shouldn't come as a surprise. He says, quote, I've addressed football and its undeniable connection to brain trauma many times. It's the elephant in the stadium at every game, whether others choose to acknowledge it or not. And it's not going away. So the idea that I am only now finding my voice on this or that NBC was taken aback is just wrong. So what he's saying is they just decided, you know, they're not going to do it together anymore. And it's a shame because I love his commentary and he's a very, very bright guy. And, you know, all you have to do is look at Gronkowski's hit last week
in
the AFC Championship game and you know, how's he going to be doing? You want
No.
Thank you.
Rob.
Thank you, Rob. I don't know why you played
that. Why would
you do
that?
Because that's Gronkowski.
Okay. Oh, is that Gronkowski?
Yeah, doing the Don't Eat Tide commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
They put on their Twitter. Right. It was a meme. Yeah. Don't sue.
That's the greatest natural, unplanned segue I have ever had
really?
In the history
Boom, bam.
Of news you may not need. The Tide Pod Challenge.
Oh, okay.
is actually helping Tide's sales.
No! No.
It's not because tons of people are running out to buy Tide Pods to eat them on YouTube. No, that is not what's happening. Regular people, because we are a nation of rubes, are buying them for laundry. It has absolutely improved their position in the market. A new survey found the number of people who've talked about Tide with their family and friends in the past 2 weeks is at its highest point in years. I've mentioned it. I saw somebody baking cookies that had like the icing looked like Tide Pods.
I've seen donuts that look like Tide Pods. And have you seen the Tide Pod shooters?
I have not seen Tide Pods. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
I saw a guy dabbing Tide Pods.
Really?
Yes. And I was like, that is just...
It's a great country, isn't it?
Dabbing nasty, with Tide Pods.
Even with all the conversations that are negative, because, you know, people are getting poisoned by it, apparently just discussing it, a brand at all is enough to get people interested in it. That's going to...
Oh, interesting.
That's a potential landscape-changing thing for... Hey, you know, we can tell the bad stories. You can probably tell a story about Tide.
Storyline.
You know?
Storyline. Yes. Hey, Tide, we're open.
Storyline, baby. Absolutely.
Hey, I've seen that.
Yeah. 41% of people say they bought Tide or they're considering buying Tide the next time they need detergent. That is up from 38% 3 weeks ago.
I'm an all man. A-L-L spells all. Yeah.
I like game.
I don't there know, but go. I've seen Tide. Right, I've seen it on the news.
I'm a regular game user, okay? I like my laundry and I like my weight the same way. Game. anyway, thank you. Driving a sports car is good for your health. You drive a sports car, Chris? Do you tool around in a TV guy?
So here's the question. What do you think I drive? If you had to guess.
Okay, I would say a BMW.
Okay.
No, I don't
Oscar
think so.
Santana, would
I think
you like
I
to
know
guess?
Because we've had this conversation because I care about people.
He does ask questions.
Take that out of your hands. Put that down. Just put that down. Rob, what do you think he drives?
I think he drives a Volkswagen Crossover.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
Oscar, since you know the answer.
You haven't guessed yet.
No, he guessed BMW.
Yeah, I said BMW.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. Hi, how you doing? I'm over here. All right.
He bikes everywhere.
Well, that is true too. I almost biked today, but
he really he bikes. He said when he goes anywhere, he does uses the bike share
or an Uber. But I do drive. I do own. I'm a proud owner of a 2000 Ford Ranger extended cab.
Ooh, I did not know that.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Okay, see, that's cool. That's why he wanted to talk.
Yeah,
about it. It was a cool old beater car. Exactly. That was that's what it was.
And the Rangers you can't buy anymore. They are a fine truck.
Well, since we're all doing that, I'll share what I never talk about what I drive around. I make references to it.
Yeah.
I drive a Plymouth Valiant.
Anyway, I like
driving a sports car is good for your health, according to a new study. It's because having super exciting little moments in your day is great for your overall well-being.
Well, this show is great for me then.
This
has been a super exciting moment.
That's very kind of you. And a sports car provides a lot of nice little moments, even when you're just doing your regular commute. So if you have one of those little cars, it's kind of neat.
Does a Mazda Miata count?
If it's the sports car,
I would think so.
You hop in there.
Yeah, So I get in the sports car sometimes.
You want to go there? Sure.
I don't know what's happening. I was just gonna say I get in a sports car sometimes. I'm so enormous and don't fit in anything that I can't.
Oh, that's right. How tall? Tell people how tall
I'm
you are.
I'm 6'5".
He's 6'5".
Wow.
He towers over Rob.
Yes, he does.
I don't get that perspective. That's why TV. That's why little people can go on TV and you don't know because they're sitting behind the desk.
I look like a little person next to him.
Yeah.
Could you stand up, Chris, and have Oscar stand?
Sure, sure.
All right, here we go.
You know what would be funny? Adrian, get in on it. Go over there, Adrian.
This is what you need. His head is out of the picture completely.
No, here we go.
Yeah, bring Adrian. Bring it.
Doesn't that look like before, during, and after? That's like an episode of Black Mirror right there.
I love that.
I grew up, or it's evolution. I don't like either one. But I remember when the Thunderbirds came out again, they re-released them.
Yeah.
And they were oh, that's a cool car. So I got in a convertible in one of them, and I couldn't see because my eye level was right at the top of the windshield.
Oh my God.
And my head was sticking out of it.
So you could never put the roof up.
When Mike talks about trying to get in these Corollas, I have it from the same, I get in, I'm like, could you put the seat up, please? And they're
tough.
Hold on, and they grab the bar.
Extremely tough. And now a little something something for all you guys. A 36-year-old guy named Nia Lee got pulled over near Jamestown, North Dakota, Sunday morning for driving too far under the speed limit. It's not clear how fast he was going, but the cops searched his truck and found 470 heat-sealed bags containing just under 500 pounds of marijuana.
Yay! No shock there.
Apparently, he was trying to stay under the speed limit so he wouldn't get pulled over, but he went too slow.
Was he stoned?
You never know. A 37-year-old guy named B. Thor, I love these names in Dakota, he was in the passenger seat. They're both facing charges for possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver and possession of drug paraphernalia. The cops made the stop at the intersection of Diaz Drive and Garcia Lane. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. That's a little inside joke. Pot smoking friends. Good dear friends. We'll take a break.
I liked it.
Thank you. We'll come back with Rob's Magic Audio Vault right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, it's your buddy Oscar Santana.
And this is Todd Moore.
You know us from Tech 411, the tech show that's sweeping the nation.
That's right, and we are here to help get you all your tech news, reviews, and apps you need to own.
Very simple, and it's absolutely free.
So subscribe on iTunes and check us out on the Moore Broadcasting Network.
And for the record, we're not banging.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. You already know how important it is to buy the Mike O'Mara Show bonus package. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. But even if you've already bought yours, think of others. Now it's easier than ever to give the gift of the bonus show. It's easier to give to someone than the flu.
True.
Plus no vomiting. That's our promise to you. It's like a fever dream of funny. And you'll never be immune from the sheer joy. Just click the gift bonus show banner at MikeOmeraShow.com. Boom, it's that easy. Send the gift certificate to yourself so you can give it in person. Or if you don't want to touch people, send it directly to the recipient so that they can start enjoying the bonus show right away. It's never been so easy to give the gift of laughter. And better yet, They'll get access to all our bonus content, and you will be helping TMOS. So please quit sucking, start giving, and we thank you. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Thursday, Jan 25, 2017. Rob Spiewak.
I am a candy enthusiast, but I'm losing patience with Skittles. First of all, it's revealed last week that all Skittles are the same flavor.
Wait, what?
Regardless of their color, they have a scent that is added, but the core of a Skittle is identical flavored no matter what color it is. So I feel like they've been fooling me for years. Oh, Laffy Taffy also good, Mike. Is that from your Sweetwater box?
Yes, the Sweetwater Audio Company sent me the candy.
At the root, they're all the same.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel bamboozled.
Right, don't you?
Yes.
And now they're talking about their Super Bowl commercial, which...
I hate this story.
Go which ahead, includes David Schwimmer and a puppet of a talking sandwich. Now, they're not actually going to show the commercial on the Super Bowl. What they're going to show is a Skittles fan watching the commercial. So you'll never get to see the spot. This is another suck idea. And here is the actual promo for the commercial with David Schwimmer. Not funny.
You'd probably like to know if this is a scene from the upcoming Skittles Super Bowl ad, but I can't tell you because we're only showing it to one single person.
I'll tell you.
Shut up! Nobody asked you!
Exclusive the rainbow. Taste the rainbow.
Talking sandwich.
No, and David Schwimmer is not good.
No, not he's qualified. Not no, you're right. You're right.
Also, I mean, it is working. We're talking about it.
Yes, so, but because we're pissed.
Well, I am pissed, but it can't be worse than that like weird contract the rainbow ad they have going.
Oh, where they pick the Skittle.
Where the guy's got chicken pox that looks like Skittles and a girl picks it off and eats it and then she gets it. It's so gross. It's like it's like Sifagana herpes in a candy form.
I'm going to eat a Tide Pod.
Well, you've heard it. Television's Chris Freight says it's a boycott. If you see your mailman driving a Maserati, Mike, be suspicious. Because in New Jersey, they just found a postal worker who was stealing credit cards from the mail, putting them in his sock, and then going around and buying things. But here's the deal. He was known in the mall as the sock guy because he would always pull credit cards out of a sock. But
so he steals them, puts them in his sock, and then when he's going to use them, he removes them from the same. So this is a moron.
This is. And so, yeah, if you're going to steal, don't drive a Maserati.
I use this post office to send out packages. And if you can't trust them, who are you going to trust?
He has been stealing credit cards out of the U.S. mail, which are addressed to people in Garden City. He would drive to the mall in his Maserati.
Shows up elsewhere in a sports car with his girlfriend and... And then the proceeds are to get that are a result of the misery of others. No good.
No good, Mike.
No good.
Also, everybody in that audio clip was so Jersey.
They really were.
And
yeah,
I say absolutely. That as a Jersey boy myself.
Oh, like, they sound so Jersey.
What town?
They really did.
Pensacon?
Ah, my dad's from Carteret.
All right.
Very nice. There is a street performer. This we posted this on our Mike O'Mara Show Facebook page. This is a street performer singing, I don't like Pink Floyd. But he's singing another brick in the wall, and I can't tell if he's making up words or if he's singing in Spanish, but know this. He's got a drum machine, he's got a microphone clipped to his face, and he's got a keyboard.
If you don't like Pink Floyd, Rob Spiewak, you can't have your pudding unless you eat your meat.
I think after you hear this, Mike, you're not going to want any pudding. Check this guy out.
We don't need no pizza.
So horrible.
It's really bad.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I had to
blow him up. That's, he makes his living doing that, Mike. How dare you? How dare you?
It's not a lucrative living.
Hey, he gets by. Seth Meyers came up with a story I hadn't heard anywhere. There is an insurance company called Admiral Insurance. And do you know they were upcharging people that had Hotmail email accounts because they assumed
they were old
and would get in more accidents. And they got called out of spotlighting people with Hotmail.
A car insurance company has admitted to increasing premiums for customers with Hotmail email addresses, claiming they are more likely to get into accidents. Said customers with Hotmail addresses, I'm going to give you a bad review on https://Yelp.com.
So be aware that they look at stuff like that. And let us close with this. You don't have to be a big sports analyst to have a rooting interest in the big game at the Super Bowl. If you ask Amazon's Alexa about the Super Bowl, this is the answer you will get.
Hey, Alexa, who do you think will win the Super Bowl?
I'm flying with the Eagles on this one because of their relentless offense and the momentum they've been riding off their underdog status. E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles.
Hey, Alexa, who do you want to win the Super Bowl?
I'm rooting for the Eagles. They've never won a Super Bowl, and I like a good underdog story. Fly, Eagles, fly.
There you go. So
I love Alexa. I'm a hardcore Eagles fan growing up outside Philadelphia, and that warms my heart. Like that.
There you go.
This is the only time that we'll be able to say the Eagles, America's team.
Yeah, that's true.
That is your Magic Audio Vault. Nice. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
I want to thank Chris Frates for joining us. Co-host of Political Persuasions. Chris, I look forward to doing another Political Persuasions with you this week and talk about the chaos. Another week of talking about the chaos.
It's fantastic.
Always a pleasure. And check us out at Political Persuasions. You can find that at MikeOmaraShow.com. And I also want to remind you that all messages for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOmaraShow.com. And our mailing address is TMOS, Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thanks for listening. I want to also thank Wilford Brimley for coming in today. You won't get any older and you won't ever die. And for the love of God, don't get diabetes. Thanks for listening and join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.